Let us turn to Luke. Luke chapter 8. We will read from verse 40 to 48. The book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 40 to 48. I'll read it to you. And as Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to entreat him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes were pressing against him. And a woman who has a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of the cloth, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." In verse 46 in here, the Lord Jesus said, "Somebody have touched me, for I was aware that power has gone out of me." Now, are you that somebody who has touched the Lord Jesus today? Very frequently, our Lord was in the midst of a crowd. And unlike the scribes and the Pharisees, our Lord, his sermon was most powerful, full of authority. So when he went out to preach, there was always a vast crowd following him, big companies of hearers. And in addition to that, of course, there is this wonderful miracles that will surely draw many spectators. So you would think that the Lord Jesus would be very pleased with this kind of a situation. And oftentimes when he goes out to work, the work of God, oftentimes you find it very difficult to move through the street because the masses that pressed upon him. It is very, you think that in a situation like this, for any preacher, this would be a dream come true because there are so many people crowded around the preacher. But then again, as far as the Lord is concerned, he feels that this large multitude, this big crowd of people, it's just like the harvest that's come through the threshing floor. And then when it comes through it, there is much of the chaff comparing to the real wheat that has been obtained as a result of going through this threshing floor. And that is why the Lord Jesus oftentimes he said that many are called, but few are chosen. But whenever there is one who was blessed, the Lord Savior, he took notice of it because it actually touched a chord of his heart. We know that there are two types of hearer in a meeting, like in this meeting, for example. The first type of people in the meeting is after they hear the message, after they have gone through the meeting, then they will say, if somebody asks them, how's the meeting? They will then say, well, the meeting is good. Or they will say, well, the meeting is so-so or not so good. So, I mean, it's just some kind of a comment. But there is another type of hearer who will say that actually in this meeting, God has spoken to me personally. God has just touched me with his word, and that God has straightened out the area in my life where I have fallen short. There are this second type of hearer. Last August, a brother and I went to a hospital to visit a brother who has terminal cancer. And then as soon as we walked into that room, of course, the wife of the brother was there, and she saw me, and she said that, Brother Lo, I was so touched by God when you shared that message, and that's the message that we are about to share this morning. You shared about we need to have a real touch of the Lord whenever we come before God. And then it was that time that my heart was touched by the Lord through the message. There are things in my life that I need to straighten out. And I clearly hear what God has said to me. And I was so thankful for the message. When I heard this, I was taken back. Because first of all, she didn't even know that I was visiting. And then, second of all, when she mentioned about she heard a message, I couldn't even remember what messages or what kind of message I actually shared. So I went back. By the way, I shared that message in a Chinese meeting. And so I went back. I went into our website. I tried to find out when did I share what message. And then it was 6 months ago, last February. Actually, if that be the case, it would be one whole year, because like we are the last Sunday of 2012. So it was February 2011 that I shared the message, we need to have a real touch of the Lord Jesus in the Chinese meeting. And I was a little bit taken back. I said, first of all, she didn't know that I was coming. And second of all, the moment she saw me, she can then immediately told me about my message. Even I myself have forgotten what did I share. So, obviously the Lord spoke to her in a very personal way that time. And I hope that this morning as we're sitting in here, that somehow the word of the Lord will reach to your heart. It will not be just a message. It will not be just a little comment saying that this is good or bad or whatever. The crowd, the multitude came and the multitude went. Little was recorded of this one incident that we just read. Yet the Lord was not unaware when the power has gone out of him to heal a sick woman or to save a sinful soul. These are the ones that the Lord will notice. This somebody, actually this story, was recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three Gospels. Why is it so important that the Lord want this story to be recorded in three of the four Gospels? The Lord wants to show us how important this incident is to him and to his followers. The whole of the other listener are not worth comparing to this somebody because she has a real contact with the Lord. Let us examine this story so that we may learn something from it. Now, when it comes to this story, there are three aspects of it. First of all, we need to use all means and all efforts with one chief aim in mind, and that is to have a personal contact with the Lord Jesus. That's the first thing we need. The condition, and we can take a look at the condition and the attitude of the multitude. At that time, the Lord Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" He asked that question. You got to have in your mind the scene. There are a ton of people just pressing, crowding around the Lord. It was a lot of people. And yet the Lord Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" Now, Jesus said, "Master, the multitude are crowding and pressing upon you." This reply from Peter actually is a true description of the attitude and the condition of the multitude. All the people around Jesus, they were just pressing and crowding around him. I still remember that one time during New Year Eve. I was in Hong Kong, and there was this one night, they call it the New Year Eve light time or something. And I was somewhere in Ocean Terminal, and then it's just unbelievable. You will not find this kind of crowd, this large multitude ever in Canada. When I was there, I mean, just, you don't need to really walk. You're being just pushed through the whole crowd. I mean, the motion is just going. And I think at that particular time when Jesus was walking through the street, that was the kind of situation with just too many people crowding and pressing upon him. And yet, this is sort of an exact description of the multitude. There are many people who will come to church meetings. It is the reason why they come to church meetings is out of maybe habit, or maybe it is a custom. They hardly know why they would go to the place of worship at all. They go there because they always go there. They go there because they feel that it is wrong not to go. They go there because their friends are there. They go there because they can find some comfort when they sing the songs that we just sang. They go there in order to satisfy their conscience. They go there in order to meet with their friends. Now, getting near to the Lord Jesus is really not the real reason for attending meetings for these multitude. They continue to do this week after week, month after month, year after year, until they would go to the church for the last time. And they will find out that when they move to the next world, that having heard the Lord Jesus and refused him week after week after week is not a small matter at all. These multitude, their condition is just like the seed, which is the word of God, that has fallen onto the roadside. That as soon as it gets spread, then it is taken up, it is devoured by the devil. And that is why oftentimes when somebody asks you after you finish attending the meeting, they ask you what's being said in the message. Many a time, a lot of us cannot even say it. As soon as we walk out of the meeting, we have already forgotten. Others will come to the house of God, for example, to pray, to attend the communion service, for example, our breaking of bread. They think that this is the Christian duties and conduct that they ought to do. Breaking bread and taking cups ceremonially is all they do. They have lost the reality of the service. They have lost the true meaning of this bread-breaking service. The true essence of the meeting, of coming to the meeting, they know not. They don't know. Many a times, unfortunately, there are people when they come to the bread-breaking meeting, they were late. Their hearts were not quite prepared. And even worse, they pick songs that has already been sung just 10 minutes ago. Am I exaggerating? Or you know what I'm talking about? They press around Jesus. They are outward, external hearers only, because there is no inward touch of the blessed Lord, no real contact with their blessed Savior, no streams of life and the love that is flowing from Him to them. It is all a mechanical religion. That's what it is for these multitudes. The condition of this type of people, in a way, is like what the Lord Jesus say in the parable of the seed. And these, they just, you know, the seeds fall into the rocky soil. The rocky soil represent those who have received the word with joy, and that they have no firm root. They believe for a while, and then when temptation come, they would fall away. These people, they receive the Lord Jesus gladly when they first came into contact with Jesus. They are the multitude who has been thorning and pressing around Jesus. They did not know Jesus in their heart, and neither did Jesus really recognize them at all, even though they've been pressing so close to Him. When the Lord came back from Gerasene, the multitude welcome Him because they have seen miracles. But these people, they have not developed a relationship with God. And that they have no firm root and have no direct personal relationship with the Lord. Their relationship with the Lord oftentimes is superficial. Ask yourself, is that somehow a description of your condition? Yeah, you kind of know the Lord. Kind of. But the relationship is superficial. The word of the Lord has not taken root. We need to ask ourselves honestly, is this the kind of situation we're in? Now, let's take a look at the condition of this somebody the Lord Jesus is mentioning. As soon as this woman came into the scene, immediately the Lord Jesus noticed her already. I would think that during that time when the Lord Jesus was going through the street, other than this sick woman, there are other sick people as well. I would think that that be the case, if you want me to speculate. However, when she came into the scene, immediately the Lord Jesus said, somebody did touch me. This somebody has a definite aim in coming to meetings. Never satisfied with having pray in the meeting. No, she wants to, through prayer, be able to touch the Lord Jesus. Just like Hannah. Remember when Hannah prayed before the Lord? She was crying, she was sighing before the Lord because she wanted her prayer to be heard. Now, do not be satisfied, brothers and sisters, with having heard the sermon. You need to really, through the message, be able to be touched by the Lord. When you come into the breaking of bread meeting, we must determine to go through the veil into the Holy of All. And, or at least, we should try to touch His garment. And this is the most important thing. Unless somebody has touched the Lord Jesus, then the whole meeting have been a mere dead performance, without life and without power. Now the woman with the issue of blood was among the multitude, and notice that as soon as she touched the garment, the fringe of the garment of the Lord Jesus, this touch triggers a response from the Lord. Now, this woman, the way she come and touch the Lord Jesus, is something that we need to learn from. There are lessons we can learn from it. So we, first of all, we can take a look at how the woman managed to have a real and precious touch with Jesus. We need to take a look at that. Now, first of all, she felt that it was no use just to come in the midst of the crowd. No use to be in the same street with Jesus. Or even no use getting near to the place where Jesus was. She must get at Jesus. She must get at Him. She must touch Him. That's the kind of hard attitude she has. Brothers and sisters, for us, it is no use to just having sang some wonderful songs. No use to just simply break bread. It is no use to simply just hear the message. We need to examine our attitude. Have we prepared our heart when we come to the meeting? You know that on the breaking of bread meeting, usually up there is a sign before the meeting that we are reminded to keep quiet and pray. Have we prepared our heart in this way? The woman, when she comes, she has the definitive purpose for coming. What about you? What about me? Now, she touched the Lord under many, many difficult situations. First of all, there is this big crowd. And she was a woman, a feeble and sick woman. The Bible tells us that she was sick for 12 years. She was not in her great condition at all. The circumstances of the crowd and her feebleness were all making it hard for her to come to Jesus, isn't it? You can imagine that kind of a scene. And yet, notwithstanding that, so intense was her desire that she urged and pushed her way through. I would not doubt that as she was struggling to get near to the Lord Jesus, that the bleeding had intensified. Her doctor must have already advised her to take it easy so that she would not increase that bleeding. Her physical condition might suggest that she might as well give up coming. Nevertheless, she desired to touch the Lord, and that desire overcame all the other harsh factors, all the other harsh situations. You know, many a times when we have a little thing here and there, then we'll give ourselves excuses. We'll say, okay, well, no, I'm going to skip church today. Somebody did. Don't do this. You need to come and you need a touch. You need that touch. Brothers and sisters, yes, it is not always easy to get at Jesus. It is very easy to kneel down to pray, yes, but it is not easy to touch the Lord Jesus through your prayer. Because there are so many distractions going through your mind. There is always a terrible fight in your mind every time when you try to pray. In a prayer meeting, it's exactly the same thing. But brothers and sisters, do fight it out. We need to fight it out. Do not let your prayer time to be wasted, nor your time of hearing the message of the Lord be wasted. You need to learn from the woman. Resolved in your heart, even with all your feebleness, that you would want to lay hold upon the Lord. And if you have this desire, if you resolve about it, if you cannot get at Jesus, then He will come to you. And sometimes when you are struggling against unbelieving thoughts, the Lord will then say, you know, let this feeble one come so that he or she may receive what she desire. This woman touched the Lord Jesus secretly. You know, at this time, the Lord Jesus was on his way to the house of Jairus to heal the sick daughter of Jairus. And the woman might consider her condition, her sickness was really irrelevant to the Lord. She felt that she had no right, in a way, to come in, to contact with Jesus, as the Lord may not even know her needs. Sometimes, we think that those who are close to the Lord Jesus, such as his disciples, they who are in constant contact with the Lord Jesus, sometimes we think that these are the people who can draw strength from the Master, from their Master. But, brothers and sisters, not necessarily so. If they do not have the strong desire in them, like this woman, then they will only provide outward services to the Lord, and their life might not be really in constant contact with the Lord Jesus. On the other hand, this woman, coming from the outside, not even dare to tell anyone what she was doing, was able to have a secret, real touch, real contact with the Lord. You may think that your spiritual condition at this time is so far away, and that when you look at other brothers and sisters, they seem to be so near in fellowship to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you feel it this way, do not let your presumed spiritual distance prevent you from coming to the Lord. You can do it secretly. Though you may seem to be so far away from the Lord in your heart, and yet He will notice you. He will call you to Him. Remember, one of the disciples of Jesus, his name is called Nathanael. The Lord Jesus said, "When you were under the fig tree, I saw you already." You know, at that time, Nathanael was at a distance. He thought that no one would notice him. But the Lord Jesus noticed him and saw him and remembered his prayer. By the same token, though this woman might consider her condition so far away from the Lord, yet she desired to come secretly to look onto the grace of God. And she found it. Though she was still in darkness, in the state of helplessness, but God would not withhold blessings from such one who approached him. We need to remind ourselves of this. Furthermore, if there is problem, if there is knots in your heart that you cannot tell anyone, there are times that the problem we have, we just simply cannot tell anyone. Not our siblings, not our even brothers and sisters, not our parents, of course. You know, there are things, problems in our heart that we just can't fellowship with anyone. If that be the case, you can come and you can talk to Jesus. Because if other people would not understand, the Lord Jesus would understand. Now, even if you have some good friend that you can talk to, but many a times you find that even they sympathize with you, but they are unable to help you. But if you come to the Lord Jesus, if you talk to the Lord Jesus, He is able to help you out. We know that at this particular time, the woman, she was ill for 12 years, and she has already used up her money, and all mad thoughts could not heal her. And if she consult with her friends, what do you think her friends' advice to her would be? Sometimes in a difficult situation like this, it is best to settle your difficulty privately and directly with the Lord Jesus himself. Many times, men's opinions usually will not bring you the real solution. You talk to this brother, you talk to this sister, you talk to your parents, you talk to just about anyone and everyone. But you find that whatever they say is not too helpful. Yeah, they care about us. but they cannot offer the real solution. We need to come directly to the Lord Jesus and have a real touch with Him. When you have that real touch with the Lord, everything, whatever that difficulty, whatever that impossible situation, it will not be a difficulty anymore. Now, thirdly, the woman came into contact with the Lord Jesus under a deep sense of unworthiness. You know that under Levitical law, she was ceremonially unclean. She was declared to be unclean. And she had no right to be in the midst of the crowd at all. I suppose that she would have to be confined to her own house. That's what she should have been done, should have been doing. Nevertheless, she decided to go and touch the Holy Savior. Brothers and sisters, you feel that you are not fit to touch the skirt of Jesus' garment because you look at yourself. You are so unworthy. You consider your current lukewarm condition. You feel that you are not ready to receive the grace of God. You consider that maybe the first thing you need to do is to clean up your life before you would deserve to come and transact with Jesus. But you never, and you never felt so undeserving in your life before. You wonder how an unworthy sinner like me can receive the grace from God. I have failed the Lord so many times. Is Christ for me? And the answer from the Lord is yes. For those who feel unworthy, do not allow the enemy to cheat you out of this blessing. Even though you may feel that you're so sick, spiritually, physically, emotionally, even though you feel that you are wanted, even though you feel that you are lost, you still need to come to the Lord Jesus because He is your true answer. Especially when you feel so undeserving in your situation, this is the time that you would want to come. Not hide away from God. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of the young people today, they show up in the meeting in body. But deep inside in their spirit, they are hiding from God. Take a look at the example of the prodigal son. We know what happened to him after he departed from his father. He wasted all his money in loose living. And then when the famine comes, he discovered all that he thinks to be somebody. All his friends desert him. And he was in great need. And finally, he wanted to work. Nobody wanted to hire him. And we know the story. Finally, he ended up in the pig pen. Stinky, filthy, dirty, without hope. And this is the time at the lowest point of his life that he said to himself, I'm not going to continue like this. I need to come back to my father. Brothers and sisters, this is the kind of determination that you need to say within your heart. Regardless of how unworthy I am, regardless of how lost, how wounded, how sick a condition I am in, I need to come back to my Father. Christ does not come to save those who are worthy. Christ does not come to save those who consider themselves as somebody. Your plea must not be your righteousness, but your guilt. Though you may have many failures, though you are even ashamed of yourself, Jesus is not ashamed of you. You know that? No, He is not. Do not let your feeling of being so unfit to sort of allow the enemy to trick you out of this blessing. In fact, Jesus is not ashamed of you, even the way you are. Even though you're so unfit to come, let your unfitness only impel you with the greater earnestness of desire that you want to reach out to Jesus. Let your sense of need make you all the more fervent to approach the Lord Jesus and to who can supply all your need. Do not try to put it off to some other time. Just like the second hymn that we sang. What was it? Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou biddest me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. This is the kind of prayer that we should utter from the bottom of our heart to the Lord Jesus. You know that? If you are hiding right now from God, you sing this song from the bottom of your heart. O Lamb of God, I come. The Lord Jesus is not ashamed of you, despite all the failures that you have gone through. Even though nobody knows it, the Lord knows it. But He is not ashamed of you. I want to say this again, so that you will not be cheated by the devil. Notice once again that this woman, she has spent all her money. Her health is gone. She has become altogether useless. In a way, she is at the end of her rope. But she came. She touched the Master tremblingly. And that touch, actually, it was a hurried touch. But still, it was a touch of faith as far as her is concerned. Perhaps you are waiting for Christ, desiring His company. You're wondering, will He ever shine His light upon me? Will He ever speak loving word to me? Will He ever let me sit before His feet? Come and try Him out. Let Him let your trembling heart draw near to Him. It is a lowliness of heart, the sense of utter nothingness that makes you become ripe condition to receive more of Christ. The truth of the matter is, the emptier you are, the more room is there for the Master to fill you. The more your lack, the more He will be able to give Himself to you. The more you feel your sickness, the more shall you adore Him when you are blessed by Him. The Bible tells us, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. If you are poor in the spirit, if you don't feel that you are qualified to even come before the Lord, your condition is ripe for the blessing of God. Because that's what the Lord said. And finally, notice the situation of this feeble woman when she came. When the woman decided to come to touch the Lord Jesus, her aim was Jesus. Her attention was solely on Christ, nobody else. Have you noticed that? She did not come to touch Peter. She did not come to touch John and James, who are called the sons of thunders. She would be in trouble if she tried to do that. To touch John and James. She did not come to touch the Pope. She did not come for anyone. Her only reason for coming to the meeting is she wanted to touch Jesus. Now you say, isn't that obvious? Yeah, it is obvious, but unfortunately many a time for us, even for obvious things like this, we fail. Our eyes oftentimes look away from the Lord Jesus into the many other things. I still remember that one time when Pope visited Toronto. That was years ago. And then after a big meeting and so on and so forth, Pope, he left. And, you know, the reporter, and they sort of filmed the thing, and there were some people who would then go to the seat, the chair that Pope John Paul sat on. He was no longer even there. And then they were just trying to go there and touch it and so on, hoping to get some kind of a blessing. You may laugh at it right now, but you know what? There was this one time when our brother Stephen Kong, all of a sudden, out of the blue, without expectation, show up in our Tuesday night meeting. And then, of course, when we split into groups, he then automatically would come up and join the English prayer group. And that night, I just kind of noticed that there is some kind of, apprehension. This may not be the right word. I mean, I discovered that we were not as free in our prayer because there's a big spiritual brother there. Brothers and sisters, ask yourself this question. When you come, are you coming to see the Lord? Are you coming to touch the Lord? Or because there's something else, some other condition in the church, in the meeting, that divert your attention? Rely on His sacrificial blood. Rely on His undying love and His resurrection power. We need to come. The condition of this woman, in a way, is like the good soil in the Lord Jesus' parable. There is this determination of heart to hold fast to her purpose. She reached out and touched the Lord, regardless of the many obstacles and reasons that she can give herself. She will not let go until she come to touch the Lord. Unless there is a real contact with Jesus, she know that coming to the meeting without touching the Lord Jesus is truly useless. It's truly in vain. Brothers and sisters, if you have this kind of a heart, if you have this kind of mentality, that when I come, I don't care who's speaking. When I come, I don't know who's there. There's only one desire in my heart. I want to touch the Lord Jesus. If you have that kind of a mentality, if you have that kind of a desire, the Lord will come. The Lord will satisfy your desire. You understand this? The Lord, look at our hearts. Look at our heart's condition. Where are you? Our mind is so crooked and so twisted in so many ways. The second point is the woman in the crowd did touch Jesus. And having done so, she received virtue from Him. Now, the healing energy streamed at once through the fingers of faith into the woman. In Christ, there is healing for spiritual disease, for your emotional disease, for your physical disease. This is a very speedy healing. It does not take months or years. No, it only takes 1 second. There is the Christ who has a sufficient healing. Though your disease should multiply beyond all bounds, but the Christ of all conquering power is able to drive every ill away. Though your problem, your difficulty may be like mountain, insurmountable, yet a touch of the Lord Jesus will heal you. Brothers and sisters, you need to learn to lay hold of Christ. Your prayer should be one of this: abide with me. And if He would only give you a glimpse of Himself, you would be very, very thankful. Remember, that one touch healed this woman whose sickness has been going on for 12 years. She did not embrace the Lord Jesus for an hour. She had just one touch. And she was healed. However, time is usually needed to get our attitude right before God. Many a times the reason why we fail to touch the Lord Jesus is because our attitude is altogether wrong. We need to put our focus on Jesus. We have to come with a determined heart, getting through all interference and obstacles and desire to have Him and to have Him only. I remember this one time that I was spiritually sick, really sick, mighty sick. I cry out to the Lord, nothing happened. I cry out to the Lord more, nothing happened. And then I cried out to Him even more, nothing happened. But because of the spiritual sickness was getting so grievous to me, I gave up, and then I said, I cannot give up. I gave up, and then I would not give up. So finally, you know, I came to the Lord. I said, Lord, I need to touch You. You need to come and touch me. If You do not come and touch me, all the things that I've done is really in vain. And it was that one time that the Lord indeed came. And He touched me. And I touched Him. It was but 1 second. But you know what? 1 second is sufficient for all the years of spiritual sickness. 1 second is all that is required. Only one glimpse at His goodness. That was sufficient for me. Only one look at the Savior. Then my spirit will set free. Only one touch of the Lord Jesus will free you from your bondages, your weaknesses. Only one glimpse of Him will fill your heart with gladness. We praise the Lord with this. You need to have that, brothers and sisters. If you are still lukewarm, if you are still sort of, you know what? Many a times, yeah, we question. We do Sunday, no, we do morning devotion, we do our night praying and all of those things, okay? But many a times we're only going through the motion. After we've gone through this thing, we ask ourselves honestly, did we touch the Lord Jesus? Did we allow the Lord Jesus to speak to our hearts? Next time round, when you open up the Bible to read the Word of the Lord, don't just do it because you need to, as a Christian duty. You need to come and read the Word of the Lord with the real desire that, Lord, I'm reading Your words. I want to touch You through Your words. I want a real contact with You. That's the kind of heart attitude you should have. I know that we have several brothers who are gathering early in the morning to have devotion. Great. But you know what? Don't just go through the motion. Every time when you come with a few brothers and you study His Word, you say to yourself, I want to touch Jesus personally. That's what we need. What a precious, glorious gospel we have for all sinners. They can touch Jesus, and though the devil may be in them, but one touch will drive the devil away. Even though the bondage of sin may bind them for years, one touch of the Lord Jesus, all the fetters will be broken. The enemy's strongholds will be torn down by that one touch of the Lord Jesus. You say, I have been so dry inside for so long. I have been very dull. My spiritual life is in a low bed. I have not heard from the Lord for a long time. Yes, I have heard messages, but I have not heard from the Lord for such a long time. I have lost my even first love for the Lord. The touch of the Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters, could make you live so that your spiritual death, your spiritual stagnation will be over. Surely the power of His wonderful life will be able to revive you. What do you need to do? You need to learn it from this woman. You need to learn to struggle hard, no matter what it takes. Do not give up just because God has not yet answered your prayer. You hear what I'm saying? Struggle hard. Do not give up. Just simply because, well, I tried, you know what? Didn't work. So, forget it. No. Don't do this. Dear brothers and sisters, get at Jesus. Determine in your heart that you do not just want to go through the motion of living a lukewarm Christian life any longer, regardless of what the price it takes. Resolve in your heart that you must have a real contact with the Master. You may say, I still have many a doubt in my heart, but your doubt will soon vanish when you draw near to Christ. Take a look at this woman. She felt that there is a healing stream that just ran through her entire body. Many years ago, I have ulcer in the duodenum. And then in that one process, I went through the doctor. Back then, you know, the medicine was not as great. So it was a long process for my ulcer to be entirely healed. And then I was so thankful. And then after a number of years, my company has a lot of issues, problems. I was under great pressure. And unknowingly, because I had it before, so when the ulcer came back, I knew that I was in trouble. Again. And I still remember that time, there was such tremendous pressure in the work and a whole lot of other things. I was driving in my car. I cried out to the Lord, I said, Lord, I cannot at this time afford to go through the same kind of long healing process because I wouldn't have the time. And I cried out to him. I said, I need a real touch from you. And it was during the time when I was thriving that all of a sudden, the Lord came. The Lord touched me. And I knew, because I had the experience of how an ulcer should get healed. I knew right then, right there, that my ulcer was healed completely. Just like that. And it was not just, you know, I couldn't, I mean, there are so many of the wonderful things that the Lord has done. You just need to come. You need to level with the Lord. You need to bow down before Him. You need to prostrate yourself. You need to say to Him that, Lord, I can't do it without You. I just can't. And when you cried out to Him like this, only one glimpse of the Lord Jesus, that is sufficient. The whole matter become history. Now, what is the benefit? What is the result of holding fast our faith and touching the Lord Jesus? We know that this woman, she has the issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible tells us that life is in the blood. The flow of blood actually means that it's the draining away of one's life. Living a life in vanity. It is living a dry and barren life. There is no growth, no fruitfulness. This is like the condition of the seeds that fall on rocky soil. It wither away. There's no root. It symbolizes our life. We are living in such a way that we are under the judgment of God. That is why there's this flow of blood that comes out of the woman. By stretching her hands of faith, a purposeful hand, a determined hand to touch the Lord Jesus, immediately the Lord Jesus' power has gone through and gone forth. And this power, this virtue, this nourishment, this moisture from the Lord stop the flow of blood. The Lord Jesus' power comes in. Your dryness is gone. Your life is restored. It allows us to take root in Christ. To put it differently, it enables God to take root in your heart. Your surrounding may still look so barren. You hear noises from the people, the multitude. But God and God may seem so far away. But learn from this woman. There is a fountain in Jesus that when you reach out, when you touch that fountain, then when you have that real contact with the Lord Jesus, it will enable your faith to be strengthened and rooted and built up in Him. And your heart will overflow with gratitude. That's what it is. The last point, the third point. After the woman was healed, why would the Lord Jesus want to identify the woman whom He has healed? There are two reasons. Number one, it is the Lord Jesus wants the woman to know that it is not His garment that healed her. It is Himself. She touched the garment of the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus said, "Who has touched me?" You see, I mean, on one hand, she touched the garment, the fringe of the garment of the Lord Jesus. But when Jesus said it, He said, "Who has touched me?" You see the difference in there? Whenever we reach out to the Lord Jesus, we are touching Him. The Lord wants her to know that it is Him who healed her, not a physical object. Her faith should be based on trusting Jesus. The Lord Jesus wants to reaffirm to her that it is her faith that healed her. Now, sometimes we make a mistake again when we say, "Okay, so I don't have the faith of the woman, so I won't get healed." No, what the Lord Jesus means is that not that the faith within you that heal you, but rather she looked toward the mercy of God, though as unworthy and uncertain she might think herself to be. It was her attitude and insistence in reaching out to Jesus, this act of faith, that makes it possible for her to have a real contact with the Lord Jesus. You understand? Because Hebrews 11 tells us, "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who seek Him." Brother and sister, you know that the woman, when she touched the Lord Jesus, not only that her sickness is healed, but more importantly, she received the rewarder, the Lord Jesus Himself. That's what it is. The second reason why the Lord wanted to point out this woman who has been healed is this. The Lord wants His disciple and the entire multitude surrounding Him and you today to know that there is a difference between fawning about Him and pressing against Him versus touching Him, reaching out to Him to touch Him. There is a big difference. Those who, like the woman, they need to act in faith. You need to have a great desire to have a real contact with the Lord Jesus. I think that's the lesson that the Lord Jesus wants to show His disciples, His multitude. That's the reason why the Lord wants to single this woman out. The Lord wants to use this woman's example to show to His disciples and the multitude how to approach God. In other words, God desires that we come to seek Him the same way as this woman. That's the reason. In other words, do not let our opportunity casually slip by. But every time when we come, determined in our heart, with a purpose, no matter how hard the outward situation, no matter how low my spiritual condition, we must overcome all obstacles and simply want to have a real contact with the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you have a real contact with the Lord Jesus? When was it? May the Lord stir your heart to seek Him, to rid of the outward superficial way of thorning around Him, and to lay hold of Christ as He is laid hold of you. This is the same way as what Paul said. Not that I have already obtained, not that I have made perfect, have become made perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. You know, the real touch of the Lord Jesus is so precious to Paul, to such an extent that he even later on said that I will count all things as loss in view of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need that touch. Not just one time. Every time when we come before the Lord, you say to the Lord, I need you. I need you. I don't want to go through the motion as a Christian because I'm cheating myself. I want your touch. May the Lord stir our heart indeed and rise up to pursuit after Him. And that indeed, in a way, is the desire of the Lord for each and every one of us. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will stir up a deeper hunger, a deeper desire, a deeper longing in us, so that we will no longer be satisfied with going through the motion as a nominal question, but rather, Lord, give us a genuine heart to want to touch you, to want to have a real contact with you. Come and bless us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.